I'd like to call this meeting of the Taney County Commission this Thursday, May 30th, 2013, to order. We will note that we conducted a preliminary study of all business for the day. This will be a short meeting this morning. First issue is, are there any commission remarks from either of the commissioners regarding any notices or meetings or any other issue that we wish to note this morning?
I'm going to wait and address the park situation Monday.
Court orders.
She went to get those. I would recommend that we move on to the next item.
Can we fine her?
Donna. Well, she was, but I had a question for her.
I'm kidding.
She wanted research question.
BOE discussion, let's move that and we'll come back to court orders.
Ron, I think that I brought this up last year. Our BOE appointments that we have, people that come in and spend their time. Last year, we had a $75 for a full day, which of work, and $40 for a half a day. When they come in a half a day for the two individuals that we appoint, it pretty well ruins their whole day as far as what they do. So I'm going to make a recommendation that we follow or make a motion that we approve $75 for a full day and $40 for a half day. Those half days usually start at 9 o'clock and end by noon. The others, we have been here till after 5 on some of the busy days. So
we've been here till after 8, I think.
But anyway, that's my recommendation, and if you need it made into a motion, but I think if we look back through the records, we'll find that it is a 75-40, 40 for a half a day, 75 for a full day.
For clarification's sake, the Board of Equalization is comprised of a number of members, two of which are appointed by the county commission from the general public, and it is those two individuals and not the other members of the Board of Equalization that would receive this compensation. And I think that a motion would be in order, and we will just label that for 2013 and set those amounts to pay those individuals that are serving on behalf of the public.
And I will explain that. The statutes clearly state that anyone sitting in a elected position cannot receive compensation for their extra duties on any board or anything like that. I'm going to make the motion that we approve the $75 for a full day. That is anything after the 12 o'clock period, from 8 to 12, 9 to 12. If they go to 1 o'clock, they receive the $75. We consider that a full day.
Zan.
Motion's been made and seconded that we establish a rate of pay for the BOE public members at a half day of $40 and a full day at $75. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Also, would you include within that, as we both intended for that to be 2013?
Yes, 2013. BOE.
Court orders.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Collector is on the phone currently with the state auditor.
I'm sorry?
The collector is on the phone currently with the state auditor.
Oh, here she is.
Oh, beautiful.
Good morning. Do we have one list? Are all of these the same type of court orders?
Yes, they're all fourth years.
Can we title this, gentlemen, for the day, Exhibit A? And would you all explain for us what these particular abatements are in regards to?
This is the way if a parcel goes through the tax sale after 3 years, then statute 14250 and 14260, if the county commission doesn't appoint a trustee, then the county collector has to handle that, and they can be sold over the counter at any time. And then the fourth year is immediate possession, no right of redemption, and so the deed is issued right then. The amount that is paid first goes to the cost of the sale, which would be the pub cost. And there's hardly ever even an amount paid to cover that on a parcel after it goes through 4 years. And so the taxes have to be abated, and then the new owner is responsible for any subsequent taxes after that. And if a trustee is appointed, they handle it in the same manner, only they're doing it.
But
and if you'd like the statutes, would you like those?
I understand.
Okay.
My only concern was if there's any that comes forward that have a significant value, which none of these do, but the situation that's brought up in this is where there has been plats in areas such as, I'm just going to use two circumstances, and there's many others. It's like Powerside and Merriam Woods and Venice on the Lake, where there were small lots that can't be built upon, or if there is a sinkhole or a water retainage or something like that, and it's brought in, and the landowner themselves didn't want to take on the responsibility of paying the taxes, so they don't pay the taxes for 4 years, and then nobody was interested in buying it, so you bring it forward and sell it for whatever it's worth. I mean, whatever they bid on it. And just to make that clear, so that it doesn't look like that with 4 years you can walk into the counter and buy a valuable piece of property, because all these properties, without existing properties to add to. I'm going to give an example. Like Powerside, when we did the basketball court at Powerside, we had to purchase four lots to build a basketball court. Those lots were of no value to anyone, because one individual lot cannot be used to build on or for any purpose, so the people let them go back for taxes.
Yeah. The gentleman that bought these, you can look at them, and I have here, if from the GIS side of pictures and the neighbors, I first go to the neighbor on this side and the neighbor on that side to see if there's anyone. That would be the most likely. Yes, none of these individually can be built, but in these particular lots, I think he said that they got in a four-wheel drive truck, went to them, and then had to get out and walk on some. They're platted lots over there, but the road has not been built on there, and they're going to try to clear them off and so forth. And I stressed to him, you know, it's they went through four sales. Nobody chose to buy them. But that will happen with any lot, Dan, that if anything that goes through four tax sales, at that this year's tax sale, I'll have over 100 lots that will be a fourth-year sale, and anyone can bid in that day any amount, and the law under that statute, and no right of redemption. They've went through three sales now, and actually after they go through the three sales, I have them now available that the collector has the option to sell them over the counter, those three sales. And I have sold some, but they sell for the taxes, the tax amount, the amount that's on them, because the laws for a three-year sale still apply, post-three-year sale still apply to what it was at the sale. You do a title search, you notify the owners and everything. So if they, but once they come to this year, they're advertised again, and you've got the advertised cost again, they're going to be a fourth-year sale. They can be bought at the sale for any amount, immediate possession, no right of redemption, unless we have a trustee, and then, of course, the trustee has the same issue. They take anything that goes through after that sells on the three-year sale, and then they would take those and try to sell them.
And what that really means is that we're going to have more invested in the properties that we're going to bring in for the sale of the property, and it's a cost to the county. So effectively what we're doing by selling these to any individual that will take them is put them back on the tax rolls, and therefore the political subdivisions, such as the schools, will have some positive gain from those taxes being paid.
Absolutely. So that's the whole object, is to get them back on the tax rolls and maybe turn them into productive. If this young man will cut the brush and do something to be able to maybe make them desirable and pay the taxes on them, then that's the... We do have a lot of lots like that, like you said, that are undesirable. And when they platted them, that you can't build on by themselves, it takes a combination of lots. And that's the purpose of the tax sale, is to try to get the money back for the entities and get them back on the tax rolls.
I haven't read the statute on it, but there is a statute that has the trustee of the county that is responsible for doing this, and if we do not appoint a trustee for these small individual lots, it falls upon the collector, is the way that I understand it.
That's, I gave it to you right there.
Okay. And then I'm going to make a motion that we accept Exhibit A with the date Exhibit A, and make a motion for approval on these that have been presented to us today.
So the motion's to accept as presented?
Yes.
Exhibit A. Second.
Motion's been made and seconded to accept Exhibit A and the abatements that are provided through the County Collector's Office, and to approve same.
Yes.
Did you include that? Discussion? All in favor? Yes, sir.
There is the reason that I said that to discussion, Brandon, that whenever I mentioned the date, that's because we go through constant Exhibit A's and B's.
Right.
The date is the indicating point
of Exhibit A.
Of Exhibit A or Exhibit B. That's for the public's notification of that process.
All in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you. The deeds are typed, and we'll file them now in the recorder's office on these. And they'll go in their name, and the 2013 tax bill will go to the new owner.
911 Consulting Services Agreement, Tammy. Good morning.
Tuesday, I met with you all, and you asked for a breakdown of the cost page 16 of the contract, and I went back to AECOM, the consulting firm, and they have done that. They have broken down each individual item of billable time and product. I also have the signature from them, because that way you are not the one signing it first. They have signed it.
And if I'm not mistaken, the reason we asked the question is because we felt the wording would provide that if they invoiced us even up front, possibility exists legally, we would have to pay them for the work before the work had been done. And what I see that you've provided us with today, and as it is stated, it's a milestone billing, so as the work is going on, we're paying them. You guys, when I say you guys, the 911 Advisory Board and you as administrator are overseeing that.
Correct.
Gentlemen, I think that she has complied with our request from Tuesday.
Motion to approve the 911 consulting agreement. Is that the way it's titled, Ron?
By and between Taney County and AECOM Technical Services.
So moved.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded to approve the agreement by and between Taney County, Missouri and AECOM, that's AECOM Technical Services, as presented on this date. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Do you have a signature page you'd like me to sign?
Yes.
Would you please provide a copy of this for our office and for the county clerk's office?
Certainly.
And
you are right up there. And then it will also be signed by Donna Neely and Rick Finley.
Perfect. Is there just the one signature? Thank you very much.
I got a question.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, naturally, I do.
naturally.
The 911 board, do they have a signature on this document at all? Because they're the ones that make the recommendation and we do the approval.
Since they don't have any financial decision-making and power, advisory board only. They're just advising you to sign it, and then you're the taxing authority that needs to sign it.
Okay.
Would we also, Wesley, make sure that the record indicates that this motion was made based upon the recommendation of the 911 advisory board?
Yeah, that satisfies me.
Okay. Anything else?
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you.
Welcome, MoDOT. How are you, Beth? Excellent. Mr. Hayes, would you like to join us? Is it a little chilly in here?
Actually, no.
Perfect. Absolutely perfect.
I'm not messing with Danny's karma here. It's mojo. We'll leave it just like it is.
Yeah, be no MoDOT messing with the mojo.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning. Delighted to have you here.
Brandon's the quiet one today. I'm
always quiet.
Somehow I doubt that. Not always.
No, he's more noisy when he's awake.
Oh, rough crowd this morning. I've got a brief report this morning. We've got a lot of things going on, but you know, nothing that's a hot topic right now. As I think I talked to you guys about earlier, we've got a couple of contracts that will be coming up in the Taney County area for construction this summer. One of those is basically an overlay project, which also includes some turn lane additions and changes on 160. Contract also includes Route 265 and Routes 165 in the area of the dam, basically from 165 is basically from 76 in Branson on down, and then where it overlaps with 265 all the way down to 65 Highway. Haven't heard anything more from the contractor lately. There's the latest we heard from them was late July, early August for starting that construction. And then the other projects we've got going, we've got two chip seals in your area, one on Route Y and one on Route O. And the contractor sent us his schedule this week, and he's saying about mid-July right now. And of course, those are both weather-dependent. He's got all of that would be Hutchins Construction, and they've got all the chip seals for our entire area, so there's several of those. So, you know, depending on the weather, they might be a little bit ahead or a little bit behind that schedule, but right now they're saying mid-July. So we've still got a lot of people out mowing in the area. I just want to give everybody a heads up that I was behind a mower the other day, and they were on top of a hill, and you couldn't see around them. And so I'm waiting with the follow truck, and I had five cars pass me.
Wow!
On a blind hill. So people really need to be patient. They need to be careful. They need to be safe. You know, we've got maintenance we have to do out there, and mowing is a mobile operation. There's not a really safe way to do it, you know, but we just, it's got to be done to maintain the highway and provide sight distance, so people be patient. We will get it done. So the other thing is we are still doing our On the Move campaign, which is our outreach effort to try to get people involved with our long-range plan. We update it every 5 years, and we're basically taking most of probably a 7 or 8 month period to try to get input. I've been told that we'll probably have a draft plan together for the commission by about August. So if anyone has ideas about what they'd like to see in this area for the next 20 years or just what direction they'd like to see MoDOT go, we're still taking input. The draft plan will go before the commission, and then we'll have, if they approve the draft, it will go out for public comment at the end of the year. And so the final 20-year plan would probably be about January of next year. So we're still looking for input there. We've had a lot of good feedback, a lot of good input. A lot of people that are happy with our performance. The biggest challenge we have is conveying the financial needs, and you guys may face that too. We've had some influx of funds from various sources, and so we've been able to leverage that, and I think we've done a really good job of leveraging our money, but trying to convince people that the money stream is drying up is kind of hard when they see you out there working all the time. So we're happy that they're happy with us, but it creates a challenge too. So I think that's about all I had. Do you guys have anything for me?
I've got about 4 questions, but John, go ahead.
Well, you are 4 questions.
Well, that's one sign.
Didn't say it was. Very quickly, you had mentioned, and maybe I missed it, a start date on 2 or 3 of the projects, but on the turn lanes on 160?
They're all part of that same overlay project. It's all in one bundle.
Oh, okay. So,
and so they were telling us towards the end of July, early August is when they're planning on starting right now. If I hear anything, more accurate than that, I will get back with you guys. I won't hesitate to wait till the next meeting. I'll give you a heads up if they move in quicker, but right now it's sounding like August.
And the second, and I raise this because there is no issue I've received more calls over than that sign that's out there by the Methodist Church. Are we still getting calls on that, or has that subsided?
I get the lady periodically calling in on it. She's still...
That'd be Mrs. Wagner across the street?
There would be the lady across the street.
That's who I was referring to.
I've contacted the church people, talked with 2 different people at the church to let them know that we do have some people that are unhappy with it. Is there something they can do with the sign, turn it down somewhat, different things, and they said they were looking into it. But I don't know if they talked to the lady.
Well, I get calls from just the public that are driving, how bright it is of an evening coming through, that it impairs them. Did anybody contact you on that, Jimmy, or no? Okay.
I don't know if you guys
curious.
Have any ordinances on the books or anything that would help you with that. I know when it's in the city of Branson, they have ordinances within the city, and that's who we usually refer it to if we get a complaint. I do know, I think Jessica Sawyer, our outdoor advertising specialist, I think spoke with the church. We don't have any jurisdiction over it, but she did talk to them about, creating a hazard and that type of thing. And I know there's been concern raised, but with it being off of our right-of-way, we really don't have any control over that at this point.
Daniel?
Has anybody recommended to them the baffling that I talked about on the stop signs that we have in different locations where I know on our stop signs and on the states, some of theirs, they have a baffling where you can only see it from direct contact with it and from the other way, so that there's no reflection off to the sides and things like that.
We actually do that with our signals also.
Right. That's might be one solution to that problem. I have had numerous calls about the chip and seal on the project in the Pro Tem Bradleyville area. Some people have asked me if they are going to remove some of the chip and seal. It's a contractor issue. You may not even want to go into it.
I would love to say that that is a chip and seal, but that's actually an overlay, unfortunately.
Right.
It looks like a chip and seal. I know we are working with the contractor, and I know we have committed to fixing it. I do not know the schedule or the extent of what that fix will be. I think if the pavement is in good enough shape, we may put a chip seal over it, and if the pavement is not sufficient, then we probably would be removing it and overlaying it again.
That's the, and everyone calls the county commission.
I understand.
State roads or whatever, and I've received lots of calls on that. Another thing that I've received a lot of calls on, and it's something that I would like to look into for the 20-year plan, is off of Mount Branson, as a matter of fact, I had two former commissioners from other counties talk to me about the asphalt. Looks like there, as you start down the hill from here going west, it looks like it's breaking off because there's no shoulder there whatsoever. I would have liked to look at it in a 20-year plan for them to box that in with a structure where that could possibly be three lane down through there, or if nothing else, solve this problem that we have now. It looks dangerous, and if anyone has to veer for any reason, they're off in the ditch, and it's a rather steep. It's 5 or 6 feet to the bottom in places there. I looked at it. It is chipping at the asphalt cover that we have, but there's nothing. There's no shoulder on that side of the road. That's in the Quick Mart, the area as you right before you go to the curb down to go to
Lakeshore Drive.
Lakeshore Drive.
Yeah, and I know Lakeshore has been on our radar, and we actually have a, I don't know if we still have it there or not. I think we still have a project in the STIP to do some drainage improvements, but not to the extent. From working with your Transportation Advisor Board, I realized that what we are looking at and what they were advising were two separate issues, so we need to kind of come to an agreement on what can be done there. But I think they were looking at more like turn lanes, and there's just not a whole lot of room there with rock on one side and drop off on the other, so it's
right.
Going to be an engineering challenge.
Right. And I just thought there's some structure of some type that would fill that ditch, because it's about the same width all the way up through there, but there's just no shoulder for people to get off. And like I said, I've received probably more calls on that than any other place. Now, MoDOT did go in and pull, looked like 6 to 12 inch stuff in one location to taper it off to where it was breaking off. So that's one thing I would like for you to look at. The county has bought a spray truck because in the excessive rain that we've had, we had a great spring. Thank God for the rain. But we have bought a spray truck. Does your mowing and sprays operation, does it control Johnson grass as far as what we have? Because we have complaints from other counties where the Johnson grass gets big, and I know that you only have a certain amount of mowing budget. Mm-hmm. And
we also have a herbicide budget also, so we do some spraying. And I know specifically in this county, we're fighting some Johnson grass. The knapweed has gotten really bad. We're fighting that. And, of course, the thistles and the teasel. But it seems like the knapweed is making a significant push that we're trying to get ahead of. And I know Johnson grass, as much as it's a noxious weed, just the fact that it grows so tall
and
causes sight distance issues, I think we try to control it as much for that as any reason. But we do have a herbicide cycle along with a mowing cycle. It's just there's a lot of area to cover.
And there's one thing that's of great interest to the people and the farmers in the eastern part of the county is the thistles that's on the right-of-way. They work extremely hard, and I know that people have sprayed and sprayed and sprayed trying to control those thistles inside their fence row.
Uh-huh.
But I would like to make sure that the state takes care of what's in the ditch line. It doesn't do us, when I say us, because I am a farmer, to spray our fields and eradicate the thistle problem in our fields if it's growing in the state ditch lines and the seed blows over. And so that's one one thing that is a great concern. I've received a lot of calls about that.
Okay.
And I'll
be honest, I haven't been over there in a couple of weeks to see where we're at as far as the thistle population, because they've really jumped in the last couple of weeks.
Right.
Already gotten sprayed.
Right. I was at Nixa Hardware, and it was unbelievable the amount of farmers that were talking about the eradication of the thistle, and then they make mention of, well, it doesn't do us much good if they're going to let them grow up in the ditch line. So 2,4-D or whatever herbicide you're using on that will not work after May the 15th, mm-hmm. So you have to go to something stronger to clear your ditch lines. But
yeah, that and is I couldn't comment on what product we're using, but we actually have a specialist in the district that's all he does is mm-hmm. basically vegetation management. And he does all the purchasing, he does the timing, he distributes when they're supposed to have each product, he kind of lets them know and has a say over that. So we have a very well-managed program, it's just we have a large amount of area to cover. So
that's one challenge. And that's one of the reasons that the county has went with the spray truck is a rather expensive project, but we are going to try to assist in eradicating this thistle problem that has, as some of the farmers up there, and I thought it was rather common to hear them say, it looks like we've been bombed by musk thistles. And so the county is trying to do their part. I know the state will try to do their part, but the message needs to be got out there that we are trying to do our part of that eradication of that musk thistle.
Yeah. This area of the country, the challenge is a lot of the noxious, well, all areas of the state really, but we have challenges with noxious weeds, and then we spend a lot of time with the arm mower in this area too, because we have so many narrow right-of-ways and a lot of vegetation growth, and we spend a lot of time trying to knock down the smaller trees before they become actual trees, and then just trying to trim back tree limbs and stuff to make everything safe and visible. So it's a big challenge, and we spend a lot of time and a lot of money on that. So, not just mowing.
I mace you, don't I? I mean, just
Randy, do you have anything? Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We appreciate you.
Yes, we appreciate your visits over so that we can vent.
Well, as you pointed out, it's good for me to be here, and it's good to have the connections that we've made, because you guys do get a lot of calls.
Well, we're going to work on Danny to see if he'll get off dead center and have some opinions in the future.
Yes, I really would appreciate it if you would wake him up a little, get him to speak up. Thank you, gentlemen.
Again, thank you.
Thank you, Ben. I just didn't know that there was a definitive date that 2,4-D just automatically quit working.
That's what they stated. Most reliable farm agencies.
And there's also different forms of that too.
There's LV, there's low.
Yeah. They're more volatile than others.
Yeah, there's also different poundage of product per pint or per gallon. So
I think the big thing is to make sure who your neighbors are and don't spray when it's windy. Eliminate their apple crop, they might not go.
Yeah.
The carrier agents in it. If it was made in the U.S. or if it was made in China, a lot of the products separate because it's made in China. If you want a dissertation on it, I can probably give you one.
No, we'll wait until a later date. The person has more time.
Yeah. Gentlemen, I think it's the end of our regular business, with the exception of the daily staff review following exec session. What we have scheduled next is exec session, and we have some people that are waiting to chat with us regarding those issues.
Motion to go in executive for section 610.021, subsection 1, 2, 3, and 12.
I'll second. Is that posted for the conference room upstairs?
No.
The way it's wrote on there, I didn't know whether it was or wasn't. Because we had our staff review, I didn't know there was issues that we needed.
The staff review is for the conference room.
Okay.
Motion has been made and seconded to go into executive session per section 610.021, subsections 1, 2, 3, and 12. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Danny aye.
Brandon aye.
Ron aye. All opposed say nay. Motion carries. We'll stand in executive session until we adjourn executive session to do daily staff review, which is merely to go over what we've done in today's business.
We got a 5-minute recess for the press.
All in favor of the motion? Oh, we did say aye. We'll stand in recess for 5 minutes.